بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أنبياء الله جميعا وعلى سيدهم وخاتمهم حبيب إله العالمين أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين الذين أذهب الله عنهم الرجس وطهرهم تطهيرا أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم في بيوت أذن الله أن ترفع ويذكر فيها اسمه يسبح له فيها بالغدو والآصال رجال لا تلهيهم تجارة ولا بيع عن ذكر الله وإقام الصلاة وإيتاء الزكاة يخافون يوما تتقلب فيه القلوب والأبصار ليجزيهم الله أحسن ما عملوا ويزيدهم من فضله والله يرزق من يشاء بغير حساب صدق الله العلي العظيم. Tonight is a holy night. In our calendar, the followers of the Prophet and his family, tonight is a sad night. The night of the departure of his favorite daughter, Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam. Two stories about her departure. One story says she died only 75 days after the departure of her dad, her father, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The second story and riwayah says she died 95 days after the departure of her father. So according to the first story, tonight it's 75 days after the 28th of Safar, the departure of the Prophet. Tonight is the eve of the 13th of Jumada al-Awwal. Jumada al-Awwal. Where the favorite daughter of the Prophet died, and he said to her, he broke the news to her days before his death. He said, Ya Fatima, anti awwalu ahli bayti luhuqan bi. Among my family, you're going to be the first one to join me soon. My presentation about Fatima is not about the past. It's not about history. It's about the present. It's about today. It's about our days now and our time. And therefore, I'm going to touch upon two dimensions of her life. One is Fatima in the family at home, as a mother, as a daughter, as a wife. And second, Fatima alayhi salam in the society and the community. Fatima, which was not bounded and restrained within the walls of her small house, but Fatima, who had an impact on the bigger society, the larger society, on her community. What we need, the Muslim community, what it needs today the most is to empower their women. Muslims have to stop doing justice to women. Muslims have to treat women as equal human beings. Empower them, respect them, encourage them to be partners not only at home, that partners outside the house to defend their rights, to defend their existence. And we take Fatima al-Zahra as an example of a lady that, despite her responsibilities at home, having four children, living in one bedroom house, and going through a lot of pain, a lot of challenges, missing her husband many of the days and the nights because he was the defense minister. He was the defense minister. He had to be on the line day and night defending the newly established community in Medina. And when he comes back home, he was always with wounds, several wounds in his body. Sustains several injuries from head to toe. One battle after the other. He has to go to the front to defend his city and his community and his family and his religion. So Fatima alayhi salam did not have an easy time. But she did well. Despite that, she was successful. When I speak about Fatima at home, in the family, because family is the miniature of the society, the first and the basic nucleus of the society. And people who succeed in the family are going to succeed in the community. People who are going to fail at home, they fail their responsibilities at home, they don't do a good job at home with their family members, most likely are not going to succeed outside the home too. The journey of success begins at our homes, with our spouse, with our children, with our extended family. And Fatima alayhi salam was successful in both, at home and outside the home. But first she was successful because she did good at home. Number one, when it comes to being a daughter, before marriage and after marriage, Fatima was an example. Fatima al-Zahra alayhi salam was an exemplary lady in being a daughter. Being a daughter that she took from her father and she gave back. Some daughters and some sons and some children, they just know how to take but not to give back. Fatima, she took from her father and she gave him back. She took from her father first and foremost respect at a time in and a place where women were mostly disrespected, where women were mostly marginalized. But our Prophet came with a revolution of akhlaq, manners. This is the right revolution. Revolution to change the behavior of the society, to change the thinking of the society. A society that was thrived on injustice, oppression, negligence, delinquency. The Prophet came to change them. And he started with women. He said you have to give them their rights back. Islam is a religion that does justice to women. If men allow, women are going to enjoy justice in Islam. So he gave her first and foremost respect. He gave her attention. He gave her love. He empowered her as a female. He said to her, you are a leader. Don't look at the treatment of women around you. Look at my treatment to you. I want you to be a leader. I want you to speak the truth. I want you to stand with justice all the times. These are the message of empowerment that the Prophet induced in his daughter. Supplied her with these messages when she was a little girl. So she took these messages from her father and then she gave him back soon. While she was still young, she sacrificed for him. She was loyal to her father. She stood with him in his struggles. Fatima was a little girl when her mother Khadija alayhi salam died. Fatima was only 5 years old. It's very hard for a daughter to lose her mother at the age of five. It's very hard. That age is a very tender age. Children, they need attention, they need love, they need care from their mothers. But God was testing Fatima. First, by taking her mother away from her at the age of five. Ya mumtahana, imtahanaki Allahu alladhi khalaqaki qabla an yakhluqaki wa wajadaki liman imtahanaki sabir. O Fatima, who has been tested with tough tests, God found you to be real, authentic, to fulfill your covenant with him. وَجَدَكِ صَابِرَ, being patient, being steadfast. And at that tender age, she started defending her father. When her mother died, her father asked one of his wives, by the name of Salama, honorable wife of the Prophet, responsible wife of the Prophet, Salama alayhi salam. Salama had kids, and she was a widow, and the Prophet married her, and then he asked her to take care of Fatima. He said to her, keep an eye on my daughter Fatima. She just lost her mother. Salama says, Wallah kanat a'dabu minni wa a'rafu bil umuri kulliha. I testify that Fatima was well-mannered than me too. And she knew all the virtues, all the good things. She knew them at that tender age. Because Fatima was nurtured by someone like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Someone that God describes him as, وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. You stand at the highest levels of ethics and morality and virtues. So she is the product of her father. And her father does what he says. Her father, when he speaks about children and taking care of them, he's the first one to implement these teachings at his home. So he spent time on Fatima, investing on Fatima, creating powerful Fatima, well-mannered Fatima, virtuous Fatima, to the extent that she gave him so much love and attention and help that one day he said, Fatima to Ummu Abiha, to me, this young daughter is a mother. I missed my mother's love. The Prophet says, I was orphaned when I was six. He lost his father when his mother Amina was pregnant with him, and he lost his mother Amina bint Wahab when he was only six. So he said, the love that I missed, I was supposed to get from my mother, Fatima provided me this love. Fatima alayhi salam provided me attention and compassion. Fatima to Ummu Abiha, the mother of her father. A mother to her father, caring mother. And the relationship grew day by day between the father and the daughter. And when the Prophet was invited to have a dialogue with the Christians at that time, among all the women in Medina, he chose one lady. Just one lady. He chose Fatima. Not just because of the blood relationship, but because of the spiritual relationship and the moral relationship he had with his daughter Fatima. He knew that he's taking the right person. Fatima is not going to fail him when he stands before the people of Book to dialogue with them. She's not going to fail him. She's the right person. And with Fatima, he took her husband Ali and her two children, Hassan and Hussein, alayhi salam. The golden family. This is the first family. Speaking about the first family, this is the first family in the history of mankind. First family who did not own properties and, you know, skyscrapers. They survived on bread. Just the bread. And sometimes they had to give these breads, the loaves of a bread, they have to give it sometimes to others. وَيَطْعِمُونَ الطَّعَامَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ مِسْكِينًا وَيَتِيمًا وَأَسِيرًا. This is starvation. And this deprivation that they chose, made them strong, made them example, made them the first family for mankind. And God, in His book, when He wants to give example about the first family, the contribution of the first family, He brings the story of Fatima, Hassan and Hussein, and Amir al-Mu'mineen, and a lady who lived with them, and she learned from them. She was inspired by them. Fidla. Fidla came from Africa, but she lived in the house of Ali and Fatima. She became part of that family. Part of that family. She did what they did. She learned from them. And she defended the Prophet. In Mecca, when the Prophet were persecuted and harassed by Quraysh, she would rush to his aid. When the Prophet moved from Mecca to Medina, and Quraysh never ceased the persecution of the Muslims and chasing them, even when they left Mecca and came to Medina, again Fatima was there to help her dad. When the Prophet almost died in the Battle of Uhud, he almost died. His injuries were very, very heavy. He almost died. He almost lost his life, the Prophet, on that day. Fatima left her house running. She was a newlywed. Only a few months. Only a few months after her marriage. She left her house running to the battlefield to take care of her wounded father, to help him, to tell him, Daddy, I am here with you. The father said, Fatima, why did you leave your house? This is a dangerous zone. She said, Daddy, because I cannot live without you. And thus the Prophet said, فَاطِمَةٌ بَضْعَةٌ مِنِّي بَضْعَةٌ مِنِّي وَرُوحِيَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْ. Fatima is part of me, and she is my soul that I carry in my breast. وَرُوحِيَ الَّتِي بَيْنَ جَنْبَيْ. She did not become his favorite for nothing. She became her father's favorite because she puts her life at risk going to the battlefield. She would not rest until she saves her father, bring him home. And she was nursing him. She was changing his clothes, washing his wounds, tending to him, taking care of her father. And when Fatima became a wife, in this long story, beautiful story, inspirational, I wish that one day we can make a movie only about the marriage of Ali and Fatima, because this is what we need to tell the young generation today. Young generation who does not appreciate marriage, young generation who are not respecting the institution of marriage. They should see how Ali and Fatima got married when Ali had nothing. Ali alayhi salam financially was broke, but morally was the richest person on earth that day. Richest person on earth. Ali had the richest character, the richest personality, the richest heart, the richest morality. Though financially he didn't have something. He had to work very hard. Ali used to be hired as a farmer. As a farmer. When he married Fatima at the age of 24. But he worked very hard. Just to make ends meet. Just to bring food for his family. She married him. Because she found in him the real man. A real man who has a rich heart. Fatima did not ask for jewelry. Neither she asked for this apartment or that furniture or this model of whatever. Fatima said, I want a real husband to stand with me. I need a real husband who can raise good children in partnership with me. And she found in Ali that perfect husband and father and friend and companion. Perfect. And the Prophet says, many people ask for my daughter's hand. Many people, many of them are rich, very rich. But the Prophet kept saying, nay, nay, nay. Until Ali came, Ali ibn Abi Talib, who was raised by the Prophet. The Prophet knows him very well. He knows his character. He knows where he comes from. Today, most of the people, they plan for their wedding, but they don't plan for their marriage. It's a big difference. Before you plan for your wedding, where do you bring this gown from? Where do you have your wedding party? What type of food you serve? How many people you invite? Plan for your marriage. We don't plan for our marriages. We don't plan for how to be good fathers and good mothers and good husbands and good wives and good caretakers. We don't. All what we think about, the wedding arrangements. The wedding has to be perfect. The wedding has to be in this hotel. The food has to be this. The flowers have to be this. The decoration has to be this. We discuss details. These details, 2 years before, some people, 2 years before, they discuss these details. But they don't plan about their marriage. What is my responsibility? What are my rights and responsibilities? What is the rights and the responsibilities of the wife? You know why marriages are falling apart? Because people jump into them without meditation, without reflection. Out of sheer romance, they don't plan. But Fatima gave an example that wedding arrangements are not important. I need to arrange for my marriage, safe marriage, healthy marriage, because I am the daughter of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I want my marriage to be an ideal one, an inspiration. And therefore, Imam Ali says something about her amazing, amazing what he said about Fatima at the time of her departure. He said, Wallahi, Wallahi, by God, ma aghdabtuha wala akrahtuha. During my time with Fatima at home, I never made her angry, neither I forced her to do something that she does not like. وَلَا أَغْضَبَتْنِي وَلَا أَكْرَهَتْنِي وَلَا عَصَتْ لِيَ أَمْرًا حَتَّى قَبِضَهَ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى. Neither Fatima made me angry one day, nor she coerced me to do something that I don't like, nor she overburdened me until she died. These are the things that we need to do at home. When you are true friends, you don't make each other angry. You don't. You try to avoid stirring anger. When you are true friends, you don't force each other to do something that they don't like. Because you read your partner's mind. Because you are one soul. When you are friends at home, you don't overburden each other. You try to remove the burden from each other. What we see today is exactly the opposite. The family is being overburdened by things that we don't necessarily want. We can survive without them. It's all, I have a friend in Michigan, he says, Imam, it's all in here. It's all in here. It's all in your mind. If you keep telling yourself, I need this, I need this, I need this, I can't go out without this dress, without these shoes, without this car, without this jewelry, then definitely you can't go out. But if you keep telling yourself, say to yourself, I can do that, I can survive, no problem, not a big deal. I have a good character, good personality, I have good relationship with people, you know, I can speak good. Then you don't have to buy all these things, you don't have to overburden yourself. You don't. You can live like a king without having anything in your pocket. Because you carry the spirit of a king. The spirit, not the physical wealth, the spirit. And this is exactly how Ali and Fatima lived. Like kings. A king and a queen. In their life, but without necessarily having accessories. And sometimes for a few days they go with very little food. Very little food. I don't know how they survived. I don't know how they were able to raise Hassan and Hussein and Zainab and Kultum. I don't know. I wish I was there to see how they survived. When you don't feed your kids, what would you tell them? I said the other day that, you know why Imam Hussein gave his soul on the day of Ashura? You know why? You know where the journey started? On the day of Ashura, he was 58 years old. But when he was only 2 years old, and he was fasting, and someone knocks at the door and asks for food, the mother says to her children, give your food to him. This person is in need. They take all the food and they give it. When you teach your son to give his food, to share it with the needy and the poor, when they knock at the door, that son is going to be raised to be able to give his life. But when we teach our children to be greedy and incompassionate and indifferent, they don't share. I know some mothers, they teach children good things, and some of them, they don't teach them good things. She tells them, listen, if this kid, he wants to take your toys, just destroy him. Push him away. Don't. This is not good. They are giving him a bad message. They are not creating his personality, you are destroying him. You are teaching him greed. You must say to him, it's okay, Ami. He can share it. Let him play. Maybe he doesn't have this at home. Or maybe he has, but he wants to play with you. One time I said that when we send our kids to school, when they come back home, we ask them, how is your grades? Did you do good in this test? Did you pass this test? But we never ask them, Daddy, today, did you ever see someone who forgot to bring his lunch and you shared your lunch with him? Did you ever see someone who was crying, one of your friends, and you went to him and you asked him, why do you cry? How can I help you? This is how we should raise them. Raise them with hearts, with compassion. These are messages we send to them. We groom them for the future. We groom them. We create a living heart inside them. We ignite their conscience that if you see someone broken, someone unhappy, you must go to their aid. Say, how can I help you? Those are going to be leaders. If you groom your children this way, your sons and your daughters, they are going to be universal leaders. They are going to be full of barakah and blessing. As Jesus says, وَجَعَلَنِي مُبَارَكًا أَيْنَمَا كُنْتُ. Whatever land I arrive to, I'm a source of a blessing and giving. We have to teach them. These are the messages that parents have to teach their children. And Fatima was successful in these messages. Fatima, she taught Hussein how to give his soul on the day of Ashura. And Fatima taught Zainab how not to leave her brother Hussein alone. Be with him until the last breath of Hussein. Zainab was standing there. This is the work of Fatima at home. Because they saw their mother doing the same thing. When the Prophet came to his daughter's house one day, Fatima's house, and he used to visit her frequently to find peace. To find peace, tranquility in Fatima's house. One day he came and he saw something out of ordinary. He saw Fatima wearing bracelets. Bracelets that have been given to Fatima by one of the ladies in Medina. She loved her. She gave her bracelets. She was wearing them. Usually the Prophet sits, let's say, for half an hour. That day, he shortened his staying with Fatima. Maybe he made it half the time, 15 minutes, maybe. And he left. Fatima, she got the message. There is something wrong. My daddy comes here. And he spends a good amount of time with me. She realized that because she was wearing the bracelets. Now, the Prophet definitely loves his daughter. And he doesn't mind that his daughter, she wears bracelets that has been given to her as a gift. But he wanted to say that my daughter is an example. And I am an example. My family is an example. As long as we have women in our community who cannot afford this wearing bracelets, Fatima should not wear it. Yes, when all women are wearing it, it's okay for Fatima to wear it. Because Fatima is an example for our other women. They should not look at themselves lower than her. So she immediately got this message. She asked her son Hassan alayhi salam. She said, my son Hassan, go and give these bracelets to your grandfather. He left the house running after his grandfather. The grandfather was already in the masjid when he saw Hassan coming with the bracelets. You know what the daddy said, the father? He said, fa'alat fidaha abuha. Fa'alat fidaha abuha. She did exactly what was in my heart and mind. She did exactly. She got the message. But you have to have sympathy and empathy with those who don't have. Not because I want to deprive you from looking, you know, beautiful. No. But I want you to be an example. And then the Prophet said something even greater than that. He said, مالي آل محمد والدنيا مالي آل محمد والدنيا فإنهم قد خلقوا للآخرة. آل محمد, me and my family have no attachment to this dunya. We have been designed for the next life. For the next life. That is our real life. Not this one. That is the real life of enjoyment. This is a life of responsibility. This is the life of struggle. This is a life that we should not fall in love with it. It's dangerous to fall in love with it. Because once you fall in love with it, there is no end. There is no end. There is no end. You only start thinking about your personal interests, not the community's interest. You become like this man who wakes up in the morning, the only thing he cares about to send tweets. Today, his daughter, you know, Nordstrom, they dropped her, whatever, he gets angry. I don't know, when does he get time to focus on the state, on the country, on America? Well, when you become preoccupied with your own narrow and self-interests, this is dangerous. This is very dangerous. You are not fit to rule. You are not fit to rule a small village, let alone a country of 330 million people. We are going into a very, very wrong direction. I said yesterday we had a meeting of religious leaders in Orange County here. They stood, they announced their solidarity and their support for the Muslim community. And I said to them, listen, it's not only about Muslims, it's about the United States of America. It's heading in the wrong direction. The wrong direction. So Fatima was teaching her children not to focus on self-interests. Focus on the interest of the ummah, the community, the others, not just yourself. This is Fatima at home, and Fatima outside the home, she was a teacher, an educator. And you cannot be an educator if you don't learn first. This is why Fatima was with her father, always learning, always with pen and paper, picking up every sentence he says, until she gathered a book. That book is called Mus'haf Fatima, the book of Fatima. Everything she learned from her father is recorded in that book, Mus'haf Fatima. She was a good learner, a good listener, a good student. And when you are a good student, definitely you're going to be a good teacher and mentor. So she used to spend time teaching women, because education is important for women. I always say this, an Islamic society who does not believe in education for women is not Islamic, an Islamic. It's haram to be called Islamic. This is a tribal society. This is a desert society. We believe in the importance and the necessity of education for women. We believe in that. And Fatima is an example. Fatima is an example. Was a student and a teacher. And she used to spend time, despite having four kids, taking most of her time, she used to spend time on education. Educating others. And Fatima, at the same time, she was a political leader. After the death of the Prophet, when the course of Islam took a wrong turn, Fatima was the first one to stand. She was not intimidated. She was not afraid. She went. At that time, there is no Twitter. How can you get your voice to the people? So she went to the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the mosque of her father, downtown Medina, the center of media, the center of government, the center of education, the center of worshipping, the center of teaching. And she stood at the same podium where her father used to stand, and she gave a powerful sermon. If you make some time in these days, go and Google it and read in your own language. Read what Fatima said on that day, historic day, when Islam took a wrong turn. The Quran says, وَمَا مُحَمَّدٌ إِلَّا رَسُولٌ قَدْ خَلَتْ مِنْ قَبْلِهِ الرُّسُلْ أَفَإِنْ مَاتَ أَوْ قُتِلًا قَلَبْتُمْ عَلَىٰ أَعْقَابِكُمْ. She stood there. She was powerful. She was not intimidated. And she addressed the people by their names. She said, Fulan, 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 you are not there with my father? You didn't hear him what he said about me, about Ali ibn Abi Talib? Wasn't you who paid allegiance to Ali to be the successor after the Prophet? Why did you hijack power? What are you doing with Islam today? She was a political leader, political activist. Fatima is a role model. And for women to learn from her, it's enough if we just learn from Fatima al-Zahra these lessons, domestic, inside the home, and outside the home. Our society is not going to be backward. When we have powerful mothers teaching their kids to be brave, no one can exploit us. No one can manipulate our political system. Most of the Muslim countries are backward because mothers are not doing a good job. Believe me, trust me. But if women and mothers, they say, I'm going to teach my children truth. I'm going to teach my children how to stand up for justice, not to remain silent. Remaining silent is a crime. You have to do something. And this is what Fatima transferred successfully to her children. And tonight, is a night of darkness in her house. The house of Ali and Fatima today is very sad. Ali did not want his wife to speak to him while the children are listening. It's too hard for the children to listen to the wasiyah, the will of their 18 years old mother. 18 years old mother. Very hard. So Ali took the children out of the house, took them to another house, Hassan and Hussein and Zainab and Umm Kulthum, and he was alone with Fatima during her last night of her life. Fatima said to him, Ali, you experienced me. I was loyal to you. I was a good wife, dutiful wife. I never disobeyed you. And I want you, after my death, to honor my will. He said, definitely I will honor your will, Yabnata Rasulullah. Of course, I will honor it. She said, Yabna al-Am, إِذَا قَضَيْتُ نَحْبِي فَغَسِّلْنِي وَكَفِّنِّي وَحَنَّتْنِي بِفَاضِلِ حَنُوطِ أَبِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ. Once I die, I want you to wash my body and then shroud me. And then you take me to my resting, final resting site. But I have one request. وَلَا تُشْهِدْ جَنَازَتِي أَحَدًا مِنْ هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ ظَلَمُونِي وَلَا مِنْ أَتْبَاعِهِمْ وَأَشْيَاعِهِمْ فَإِنَّهُمْ عَدُوِّي وَعَدُوُّ اللَّهِ. I have one request. I don't want people who persecuted me and abused me and wronged me to walk in my procession. I don't want them to be there. Keep them away. اِتْفُنِّي فِي اللَّيْلِ إِذَا نَامَتِ الْعُيُونَ وَهَجَعَتِ الْأَبْصَارِ. Bury me in the middle of the night when people go to bed. I don't want those people to come and walk in my procession. And he honored her will. She said, one last thing, Ali. I have four young children. Yeah, Ali, I have four young children. One of them is very much attached to me, and that is Hussein. I need you to be extra careful with Hussein. I want you to take care of those children. فَإِنَّهُمَا يَصْبَحَانَ بَعْدِي فَإِنَّهُمَا يَصْبَحَانَ بَعْدِي يَتِيمَيْنِ غَرِيبَيْنِ مُنْكَسِرَيْنِ. They're going to be orphaned. They're going to be alone. They're going to be broken. I want you to take care of them. And this is what Ali did. After midnight, he took her body to her final resting site. He buried her. Then he turned to Rasulullah, to the grave of the Prophet. He said, As-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. عني وعن ابنتك النازلة في جوارك والسريعة اللحاق بك. قال يا رسول الله عن صفيتك صبري. He said to him, يا رسول الله, your daughter is your guest tonight. She's joining you in the Akhirah. Please, يا رسول الله, ask her yourself. فكم من غليل معتلج في صدرها لم تجد إلى بثه سبيلا. She had so much suffering in her heart that she did not even share with me. I want you when you meet Fatima tonight to ask her about what happened to her. صلى الله عليك يا سيدتي ويا مولاتي يا فاطمة الزهراء يا بنت رسول الله ورحمة الله وبركاته وصلى الله وسلم على سيدنا محمد وأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين